Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So, to start us off today, I want you to imagine a high-stakes, real-world clinical scenario. A patient is diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer.
Right, which is unfortunately a very common reality.
Yeah, exactly. And the doctor has these highly effective, life-saving therapies available, specifically things like powerful hormone blockers or, you know, aggressive chemotherapy. But there is a massive catch.
They don't actually know which one to use.
Exactly. The doctor does not know which combination will work best for this specific tumor. So it is essentially an educated guessing game. What really happens when we treat cancer blindly without knowing its unique molecular vulnerabilities?
A scary thought.
It really is. And how could this change if the tumor's own RNA could just hand us an instruction manual for exactly which drugs to use?
Well, today we celebrate the work of the STAMPEDE trial team and the researchers at UCL who have advanced our understanding of predictive biomarkers in advanced prostate cancer. We really have to acknowledge the monumental effort here, specifically highlighting authors Emily Grist, Peter Duty Magny, Gerhard Attard, and the MRC Clinical Trials Unit.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to really understand the magnitude of what this research team has done, we need the lay of the land, right? Like, what is the baseline for treating advanced prostate cancer today?
Sure. So the foundational treatment is androgen deprivation therapy, or ADT. Basically, you're targeting the disease's primary driver by cutting off testosterone. But, you know, we've known for a while that ADT alone just isn't enough for long-term control in advanced disease.
Right. The cancer eventually figures out a way around it.
Exactly. So the standard of care is moved to treatment intensification. Doctors combine standard ADT with either a more powerful hormone blocker, an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor, or ARPI, like abiraterone, or they combine the ADT with chemotherapy, specifically docetaxel.
Got it. So we have a fantastic toolkit, but returning to that analogy I used earlier, we have no instruction manual telling us when to use the hammer, which is the chemotherapy, versus the wrench, you know, the hormone therapy.
That is the perfect way to put it. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the why here is so critical. Docetaxel, the chemotherapy, it's highly effective, but it comes with severe physical and financial toxicity.
Like neuropathy, massive fatigue, immune suppression, all of that.
Yeah, exactly. So over-treating with chemotherapy when a patient would have done just fine on hormone pills causes immense unnecessary harm. But on the flip side, under-treating, like withholding chemo from someone with a rapidly growing tumor, that invariably costs lives. Until now, a predictive biomarker to make that exact choice just hasn't existed.
Which is why the methodology of this deep dive is just jaw-dropping. This wasn't some tiny pilot study in a lab. They looked at 1,523 patients from the STAMPEDE platform trial.
Right, with up to 14 years of survival follow-up data, that is incredibly rare in oncology.
It's massive. And to get the molecular data, they extracted RNA from diagnostic tumor biopsies, specifically formalin-fixed, paraffin-embedded, or FFPE tissue. Then they ran these clinical-grade pan-transcriptome microarrays to test, I think it was 59 different biological expression signatures.
Yep, 59 different signatures. It's a really comprehensive look at the tumor's biology at the exact moment of diagnosis.
Okay, wait, I have to push back here. Isn't RNA famously fragile? I mean, how on earth do researchers get reliable transcriptome-wide data from preserved, chemically treated biopsies that are, in some cases, over a decade old?
It's a great question, and it's the main reason this hasn't been done routinely before. Formalin fixation cross-links the tissue and basically degrades the RNA into tiny little fragments.
Right, so standard RNA sequencing would just fail, right? Uh-huh. Because it needs longer, intact strands.
Exactly. If you try to run modern RNA sequencing on a 10-year-old wax block, your failure rate is going to be way too high for a clinic to rely on. But that's where the clinical-grade microarray technology comes in.
Oh, interesting. How is that different?
Well, microarrays don't try to sequence the entire transcript. They use thousands of highly specific synthesized probes attached to a chip. They're just looking for short, specific target sequences.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like if you have a highly classified, shredded document, standard sequencing is trying to tape whole sentences back together, which is impossible if it's shredded too finely.
That's a great analogy.
But the microarray is just acting like a word search. It just looks for specific, unique words that survived the shredder. If that tiny fragment is there, it binds, and you get a signal.
Precisely. It has a slightly narrower dynamic range than modern RNA sequencing, but it is vastly more robust for old, degraded FFPE tissue. And that's what makes it perfect for rapid clinical implementation, because it uses the exact type of tissue samples already sitting in pathology labs around the world.
Wow, so they basically bypassed the biggest technical hurdle. Okay, so they have this robust RNA data from over 1,000 patients, and they have 14 years of survival data. Let's get into the results.
Sure. And to start, we really need to clarify a crucial scientific distinction for our listeners. The difference between prognostic and predictive biomarkers.
Right, because those terms get thrown around interchangeably, but they are very different.
Very different. Prognostic means predicting how aggressive the disease is overall, regardless of what treatment you give. Predictive means predicting if a specific treatment will actually work.
Got it. So let's start with the prognostic discoveries. What did the baseline RNA tell them about survival?
Well, tumors with higher androgen receptor, or AR, signaling at diagnosis, those were strongly associated with longer survival.
That makes sense. It means the tumor is still relying on the hormone pathways, so hormone blockers will still have a strong effect.
Exactly. Conversely, they found that tumors with high cellular proliferation, so cells that are dividing rapidly, which they measured by RNA cell cycle signatures and the Ki-67 protein, those were associated with much shorter survival.
Fast growing equals more aggressive. Makes total biological sense. Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. How did they move from just predicting overall survival to predicting who actually needs the chemotherapy?
This is the breakthrough. They evaluated several signatures, but the standout was the Decipher score.
Wait, Decipher? Isn't that already used in early stage localized prostate cancer?
Yes, exactly. It's an RNA classifier normally used to predict metastasis after surgery. But in this study, they repurposed it for metastatic disease, and they proved that a high Decipher score strongly predicts a survival benefit from docetaxel.
Wait, really? So a test designed for early-stage disease works as a chemotherapy predictor in late-stage disease?
It does. The statistical interaction was highly significant, with a p-value of 0.039. If you had a high Decipher score, adding docetaxel extended your life. If you had a lower Decipher score, the chemo gave you absolutely no overall survival benefit.
That is incredible. I mean, we're talking about sparing men months of brutal chemotherapy side effects because their RNA says they won't even benefit from it.
Exactly. But they didn't stop there. They also found a second major predictive biomarker, PTEN inactivation.
PTEN, right. That's a classic tumor suppressor gene, isn't it? It acts like a brake pedal for cell division.
Spot on. When PTEN is inactivated, a growth pathway called PI3K gets permanently switched on. The cells just divide out of control.
So what did the STAMPEDE data show about these PTEN inactive tumors?
Well, first they showed that patients with PTEN inactivation had very short survival if they were only treated with hormone therapies. They're essentially resistant to standard ADT.
But, and I'm guessing here, because they are dividing so fast, they are extremely sensitive to chemotherapy.
Yes, highly sensitive to docetaxel. The statistical interaction there was incredibly strong, with a p-value of 0.000.
Wow. So what does this all mean? How does this change the day-to-day reality for a doctor and a patient?
It permanently shifts the paradigm. A doctor can now take a standard single biopsy at diagnosis, run this clinical grade test, and identify if the tumor is high Decipher or PTEN inactive.
And if it is, they bring out the heavy artillery. They prescribe the docetaxel, knowing it will actually work.
Exactly. And conversely, if the tumor is PTEN active and has a lower Decipher score, the doctor can confidently say, "We don't need to put you through chemotherapy. The hormone blockers are enough."
That is the ultimate goal of precision medicine, giving the right drug to the right patient at the right time.
It really is. But this raises an important question about clinical guidelines. To change practice, you need level 1B evidence. Yeah. And because they pre-specified their statistical plan before looking at the 14-year survival data, they actually achieved that level 1B standard here.
Which is incredibly hard to do with archival tissue. It prevents people from just fishing for good statistics. But of course, we always have to look at the limitations of any study. What's the boundary here?
The main limitation is how fast the field of oncology moves. The Stampede trial data they used didn't include a modern triple therapy arm.
Ah, right. Triple therapy. That's where patients get standard ADT, plus an advanced hormone blocker, plus the chemotherapy, all at the same time, right?
Correct. That's becoming standard for very aggressive cases today. Because the historical trial didn't test all three together, we don't know for absolute certain if the Decipher score, or PTNEN status, perfectly predicts benefit in that exact triple therapy scenario.
So extrapolating these predictions to the three-drug combo requires further validation in newer trials.
Exactly. We have the biological rationale, but we still need that final clinical proof for triplet therapy.
Still, the leap forward here is just monumental. So, to wrap this all up, how would you summarize the core takeaway from this deep dive?
I'd say it comes down to this. By leveraging clinical-grade RNA microarrays on standard archival biopsies, we can finally peer into the transcriptome of advanced prostate cancer. We can use that data to predict exactly which patients need chemotherapy, transforming what used to be a clinical guessing game into true precision medicine.
What does this mean for the future of personalized oncology? If an RNA signature can unlock the exact right treatment for advanced prostate cancer, how many other cancers are out there, just waiting for their own molecular instruction manuals to be decoded? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
WKU on the clipboard, same stamp on every page. If the steps can stay consistent, we can free the data's rage. Name the note, lock the code, let the pathway show. If we trace it, we can place it, we can make it go. From a roar up signal to a clean, bright line. Hold the thread, don't let it fray. Bit true, standard label, steady hands. Watch the work come through from the button to the finish. Oh. From the noise into the sun, when the method keeps repeating, that's the way discoveries run. Yeah. Ooh. So in the margins, little notes that never fade. Panels A to B to C. We made cohorts in a table, kits and numbers clipped and clear. Even if the words are broken, the procedure pulls them near. If the page gets scrambled, if the ink won't translate right, we still feel the rhythm of the process in the light. Same sequence, same reason, like a heartbeat in the trial.